Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 23. Choose a disciplined lifestyle. This final segment of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount applies to every Christian. It deals with a disciplined lifestyle, a trustworthy leadership, and a stable foundation. The Lord presents two lifestyles to choose from. One of them is to be desired, the other is to be avoided. And each day of the Christian life demands a renewed commitment in this walk. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." The master teacher instructs regarding those two lifestyles using three pictures. Two we'll consider in this session, and the third we'll look at next time. First of all, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus compares the entrance to life as through a gate. Verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. The way to heaven is narrow, and not routinely entered. The way to hell is wide and full of people." Jesus referred to ancient cities which were surrounded by walls and entered through gates. Some of the gates were connected to broad avenues of the city, allowing large crowds to pass. Gates for private purposes were narrow, and only a few people would be seen entering by them. The path to heaven is narrow, and persons often traveling alone. On the other hand, the way to hell is broad with multitudes crowding it. A choice is before every person. Travel the narrow road of life, the one less used, the disciplined way of life, a holy life. The alternative is the wide road, the crowded path of life that goes with the flow. A lifestyle easily found versus the God-ordered life. The desirable life requires work to find. The one to avoid has neon lights all over it. Even among believers, we find the many and the few. The few who hear and obey the Lord's commands, and the many who hear only. It's a tragedy that, like the world, the church is littered with, although saved, wasted lives. Someone said, "The only part of the Bible you truly believe is the part you obey." Real Christian living comes only to those who are willing to pay the price. Second, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 23, Jesus teaches false prophets as wolves and trees. Verse 15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Things are not always what they appear to be. This is what hypocrisy is all about. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Another picture of very hungry wolves, ravenous wolves, who kill and eat. Dogs are too ignorant to understand the truth. Swine will attack those who present the truth, but wolves will draw away from truth and consume. They're the most dangerous. A false prophet teaches incorrect doctrine or falsely claims to have divine inspiration. The sheep is a symbol of innocence and sincerity. Coming in sheep's clothing assumes the appearance of sincerity, while the heart is instead evil. False teachers may at first be interesting, but they should be judged not by their appearance, but rather by the character and effects of their principles and conduct. They're bent on devouring the flock. It's a tragedy that such men and women have appeared throughout history. And they always seem to find victims. Using another image, Jesus taught that false prophets are like bad trees, producing rotten fruit. He contrasted the quality fruit of good trees against the rotten fruit of bad trees. Religious leaders who focus on themselves, concerned primarily about their own reputation, produce only evil fruit. Jesus stated an agricultural fact, good trees will produce good fruit, but bad trees cannot. Bad trees will produce bad fruit, but good trees will not. We do not judge a tree by its leaves, or its bark, or its flowers, but by the fruit it bears. The flowers may be beautiful and fragrant. The foliage may be thick and green. But that's merely ornamental. It's the fruit that matters. So what is Jesus saying here? Do not accept teachers just because they sound good. They may look like sheep, but they're really wolves. The prophet's true colors are revealed by his fruit. Jesus addressed hypocrisy in church leaders. There are con artists who look good on the outside, but are corrupt on the inside. The fruit of their lives contradicts their claims. He had already warned against prejudgment or quick judgment. In this passage, he encouraged us to make careful judgment. Moral weakness in the lives of Christian leaders hinders the power of the church's witness. Those who seek to influence others without maintaining their own integrity are hypocrites, forfeiting their right to lead. Greed, dishonesty, immorality. Forgiveness is available to those who sin, but the qualification for the trust of leadership is damaged. Sin always has consequences. A person's most destructive enemy is often within him. Acts chapter 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're very religious. You see, they appeared to be religious, but they were not at all religious. The church gets these types sometimes as members. Religious activity only in the church versus a true personal relationship with Jesus outside of the church. Sometimes there's the appearance of being religious. Prophesied in your name. Cast out demons in your name. Done many wonders in your name. But never choosing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus declared, I never knew you. He confirmed there are some pretenders crying, Lord, Lord, yet refusing to do the will of God. They sought to fool Jesus himself. And the Lord exposed those who never really chose him. He declared that he never knew them, that they are unrighteous and eternally lost. At verse 23 again. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Beware of who you trust to be your religious leaders. And you have a great day.